U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft says he will not allow members of the Senate to see memos that appear to lay a legal groundwork for torture. Ashcroft testified yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and lawmakers asked about a set of government memos that appear to suggest that President Bush is not bound by international bans on torture or even by federal law. Here's NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
The Defense Department draft memo was prepared for Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld by a team of lawyers from many parts of the administration, including the Office of the Vice President. In March of 2003, the lawyers wrote that in order to respect the president's inherent constitutional power to conduct a military campaign, the prohibitions against torture contained in treaties signed by the U.S. and a similar ban in federal law, quote, must be construed as inapplicable to interrogations undertaken pursuant to the president's commander-in-chief authority. The memorandum, first reported by the Wall Street Journal on Monday, has since been obtained by NPR and is on the NPR website. Much of the 56-page torture memo is spent on tightly constructed definitions of torture that would prevent the prosecution of those who inflict severe physical and mental pain. For example, it says that a person must have specific intent to cause severe pain and suffering in order to be prosecuted. It would not be enough to prosecute, says the report, if a person knew that severe pain and suffering was only likely to result from his actions. The report contains dozens of such distinctions, many of which have been not offered before in this context. Indeed, some conservative scholars who have previously defended the administration's positions pointedly declined to do so when contacted by NPR about the memo. A second memo disclosed yesterday by the Washington Post was written by then Assistant Attorney General Jay Bybee in response to a request from the CIA for guidance on how far it could go in conducting interrogations. In response, the Justice Department advised the CIA and the White House that inflicting moderate or fleeting pain does not constitute torture. Torture, the memo says, quote, must be equivalent in intensity to the pain accompanying serious physical injury, such as organ failure, impairment of bodily function, or even death. By contrast, the Army's field manual has much more restrictive rules. It, for example, forbids forcing an individual to sit or stand in abnormal positions for long periods. It even forbids food and sleep deprivation. Justice Department sources acknowledged yesterday that the memo, written in August of 2002, was forwarded to the CIA. But when Attorney General John Ashcroft appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday, he was less than forthcoming about either memo. He said the administration rejects torture. But in this exchange with Democrat Patrick Leahy, he refused to say whether the president has authorized force or other techniques in interrogations.
Has there been any order directed from the president with respect to interrogation of detainees, prisoners, or combatants? Yes or no?
I'm not in a position to answer that question.
Democrat Joseph Biden followed up by asking Ashcroft if he believes that torture is justified and constitutional in wartime.
I am not going to issue or otherwise discuss hypotheticals.
Okay, let me
see.
This has been the subject. Do you think this is justified? It's not hypothetical.
You know, that's not a hypothetical. That's a circumstance, and that's the kind of circumstance that when it is referred to the Justice Department, we investigate, and if there is a basis for prosecution, we would prosecute.
Ashcroft also flatly refused to provide the committee with copies of the memos revealed in the press this week. Was he invoking executive privilege on behalf of the president? Ashcroft said he was not. Pressed further by Senator Richard Durbin, he responded,
I am refusing to disclose these memos because I believe it is essential to the operation of the executive branch that the president have the opportunity to get information that is confidential.
Mr. Attorney General, with all due respect, your personal belief is not a law, and you are not citing a law, and you are not claiming executive privilege. And frankly, that is what contempt of Congress is all about. You have to give us a specific legal authority which gives you the right to say no, or the president has to claim privilege, and you've done neither.
When Republican Orrin Hatch, the chairman of the committee, interjected to ask if the memos were classified, Ashcroft, for the first time, seemed unsure of himself.
Some of these memos may be classified in some ways and for some purposes. I don't know.
Mr. Attorney General, with all due respect, that is a complete evasion.
That last was from Senator Durbin. Several senators pointed out that they have top security clearance and deal with classified material every day. The memos at issue yesterday are only the latest that have surfaced in recent months, all written after 9/11 and positing an apparently new view in American government that since the other side doesn't play by the rules, the Constitution allows the U.S. government to do the same if the president says so. But human rights and international law experts dispute that assertion, noting, for example, that the international treaty banning torture specifically says torture is never permissible, not even in war. Kenneth Roth is president of Human Rights Watch.
Despite the treaty that the United States has ratified, despite this pledge to the international community that certain steps will never, ever be taken, these Justice and Defense Department lawyers and the White House counsel essentially said, we didn't mean it. We can simply rip up those pronouncements because the president said so. And of course, that makes a mockery of international human rights law around the world.
Roth points to the rule established during the Nuremberg war crimes trials after World War II. The rule, he notes, is accurately summed up in the memos. It is no defense to say you were following a patently illegal order.
But they then go on to say, well, it wouldn't be patently illegal to engage in these various forms of torture or inhumane treatment because this is the war and the president authorized it. And so that additional twist is a complete perversion of Nuremberg. Because, of course, Hitler probably authorized the kind of torture and mistreatment that was on trial at Nuremberg. He was the commander-in-chief at the time.
The memos disclosed this week also provide a clear insight into how the Bush administration views the roles of the other two branches of government in times of war. In wartime, says the March 2003 memo, quote, it is for the president alone to decide what methods to use. The president's complete discretion has been recognized by the courts.
Let's not forget, the Supreme Court has limited the president's power to act even during war, such as telling President Truman he could not seize the steel mills during the Korean War.
Ohio State University professor Mary Ellen O'Connell is a former Defense Department instructor on the law of war.
The commander-in-chief authority is not unlimited. That power, like all power in the United States, is limited by the rule of law.
There are grave ironies, too, in these memos, for they take positions that were specifically rejected by the government's own lawyers in the Supreme Court less than 6 weeks ago. Take this exchange between Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Deputy Solicitor General Paul Clement in one of the enemy combatant cases in April.
If the law is what the executive says it is, if whatever is necessary and appropriate in the executive's judgment, what is it that would be a check against torture?
Well, first of all, they're treaty obligations, but the internal reasons that...
Suppose the executive says, mild torture, we think, will help get this information. It's not a soldier who does something against the code of military justice, but it's an executive command. Some systems do that to get information.
Well, our executive doesn't.
Yesterday, the Bush administration continued to say that detainees, including al-Qaeda fighters detained at Guantanamo Bay, are being treated in accord with international treaties, notwithstanding the statements in the memos revealed this week. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.